Hello and welcome back to the Gubba Podcast. I'm Gubba, a first-time homesteader following in the footsteps of my homesteading forebears. In this podcast, I discuss prepping, homesteading, and everything in between. Today, I am going to be discussing the conspiracy of our food system, including the viral rubber fruit appeal and its business, and how you can break out of this system and collapse big food. So here in America, there has been a huge viral trend of people shopping at the grocery store and getting rubbery fruits. People are showing watermelons, avocados, and bananas that are pliable, and when they twist the fruit, it doesn't break. That's pretty weird. And when one of these videos first popped up on my feed, I thought, maybe somebody is spoofing and got a rotten piece of fruit. Maybe it's like a stuffed animal, you know, one of those little squashmallow things. Then more and more videos start popping up of people getting rubber fruit and showing their avocados. They just cut up, fully twisting without breaking, silicone-like blueberries. And it really is difficult to know what to believe when it comes to social media. So I am apprehensive whenever I see something, but I know our food system is so broken. So it wouldn't surprise me if something funky is going on, causing fruit to become rubber or rubberize. I don't even know what you would call that. And while we are speculating on whether the fruit is rubber or not, we don't have to speculate on if our food is being poisoned. It absolutely is. And I don't say this to cause fear. It's just the reality of the situation. That is something, especially in my circle and in my life, when I share these truths with people, people think I'm just causing fear, I'm not living life, and it's like, no, I'm just talking truth here. There is nothing wrong with that. Let's look at what this actually is. Like, see this system for what it is, because I feel like it's helped me so much, but I understand that it can be a difficult pill to swallow. But our foods are sprayed with harsh chemicals. And the latest chemical food spray they are gaslighting us with is a chemical called appeal. Have you heard of it? I went to Costco a few months ago and I was looking at the fruit and I saw the appeal sticker and I was like, no way. This is what I've seen on social media of being associated with Bill Gates, and it's in my Costco. Yuck. Anyways, appeal is supposed to be a plant-based protective coating that is sprayed on our produce to extend the shelf life. Here is the best part. Bill Gates has funded this. Every time his name is brought up, I'm just like, how did this tech weirdo get involved in our food? Why do we give him so much authority? Oh, wow. Bill Gates said he's going to save the world with his appeal and reduce waste. Bill Gates is buying up all the farmland. What does this tech weirdo have to do with our food? I just don't get it. Why is he involved? I genuinely think the media has conditioned people to love and think highly of this weirdo. So when a poison was rolled out that our food would be sprayed with, Bill Gates' name could be slapped on it and people would be more trusting of it. Do you see how that's conditioning? We literally have been groomed for years to just accept garbage as our food. And when something as controversial as this rolls out, they have conditioned us to love this random guy. And so if his name's on it, it's like, oh, wow, we trust him. Where does that trust come from? That's like a whole other entire podcast diving into the subject of being conditioned and groomed by our lovely government. But something is so fishy about this appeal. So let's take a deeper look. When I first saw that sticker, I was like, nah, I don't want this. Why would I ever want produce that is extended beyond its shelf life, its natural life? So grab your tinfoil hat because you are going to need it. First, when you want to get to the bottom of devious plots and plans, see who is providing funding. As we already know, Bill Gates is funding this. And if you ask a majority of people who is behind appeal, they will tell you Bill Gates. His foundation, foundations, that's a whole other podcast. Big yuck, there's a lot of things that are covered up with foundations. Anyways, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is the specific funder along with the World Economic Forum, the Rockefeller Foundation, infectious disease startups, and the government of Singapore. After reading this list, your first instinct should be to run. The Rockefellers are who took over the healthcare system in America and made it petroleum-based. Most things lead back to them, including the school system. That quote of, "I want a nation of workers, not free thinkers," comes from a Rockefeller. The World Economic Forum is infamous for introducing a great reset in response to COVID and for wanting us to eat bugs, own nothing, and be happy. Infectious disease startups and the government of Singapore, what do they have to do with appeal? Is it possible some countries are just used as pawns or shells for other countries and governments? And all after all this, like, appeal just gets stinkier. I discovered that appeal, organappeal, is registered as a pesticide with the Environmental Protection Agency. So you have appeal, which is on the normal, non-organic, quote-unquote, produce, but then you have the organappeal. They were like, hey, not only are we going to spray regular produce, we are going to spray organic produce, which literally does not make sense at all. You have this organic produce that's supposed to be grown without sprays and pesticides, and then you put on a pesticide? What? How does that even make any sense? But yes, you can find the document that appeal registered with. Of course, there is not a full breakdown of the ingredients. I am an ingredients girl, okay? I read the ingredients on my moisturizer, on my pet food, on anything. The answer and the truth is found in ingredients. It appears as if they are well hidden on appeal. So why hide something if you want to be honest and there's nothing scary about it? Here is the precautionary statement on this environmental protection pesticide registration. Quote, causes moderate eye irritation, avoid contact with eyes or clothing, wear safety glasses when handling, wash thoroughly with soap and water after handling and before eating, drinking, chewing gum, using tobacco, or using the toilet. End quote. And we're told this, quote, protective, quoting, end quote, is designed to be eaten and is marketed as safe. Oh my gosh, my mind is just blown. I couldn't believe it. You can see these documents where they are registered because they are public information. But even when things like this are public, I know that people struggle to find them. We are not taught how to dissect ingredients, dissect government information and documents. So I will link that, their registration, in the show notes for you so you can go and look for yourself. It really is disturbing. So it is classified as a pesticide with the EPA and a fungus side with the OMRI, which is a short for Organic Materials Review Institute, which is a nonprofit that does independent reviews and is supposed to be like an entry gate for organic produce and production. So what are they doing letting something like appeal in through the door when it is a fungicide? It's almost like, I just wonder, was there a transfer of funds into anybody's pocket specifically? Was anybody paid under the table? Because that's usually how these things go, right? You're just like, wait, I just read the warning label where it says to wash my hands and to avoid eating this, but then it's on my food? Okay, yeah, that doesn't make any sense at all. I mean, this literally is insane. Do you really want to be eating a fungicide or feeding that to your children? And I thought organic produce meant no spraying. That definition is shifting before our eyes. If your food needs a warning label that you need to wear safety glasses while handling, is it really food? Just because you're receiving a diluted portion of this poison doesn't mean that you aren't consuming poison. You are, just in smaller amounts. So don't let anyone fool you by saying, well, it's just a small amount. It's all in moderation. It's okay, my avocado sprayed in a peel. It's just on the outside. Actually, no, it's not. It absorbs through the surface of the fruit. Anyways, also, you may be told that you can just wash it off. But think about it, okay? Going back to being absorbed into the fruit in that scenario, I would safely assume this pesticide appeal garbage will absorb into your produce. So it doesn't matter if you're washing it or not. Think about it. The shelf life is being extended. This fungicide extends that shelf life of produce ensuring it doesn't go bad as it naturally would. It is interrupting a natural process of the entire fruit or produce, and it isn't just by a thin coating on the outside barrier. Something that is also bothersome on this document is it says that the active ingredient in citric acid at 0.66% and other ingredients at 99.34%, but it doesn't list what the other 99.34% ingredients are. What kind of chemical garbage is this stuff? There is no transparency. And I use this rule when I'm researching a food or a product. If the creators make it difficult to find the ingredients, I'm out. Immediately, I'm gone. For example, when you try to find the actual ingredients in Purina dog food on their website, good luck. Last time I was there, you have to sniff around for it, but you will be hit with the marketing lingo of why their ingredients are so great for your dog or cat. And this will suffice for most people because they don't understand the actual depths of the ingredients. And that's why they go to such lengths to hide it from you. Then when you get the real ingredient list, you have to like click things, you have to download something. Then you realize what they are trying to hide. It isn't the pretty fancy colors on the website, the little pop-ups. So if you have a big food monstrosity like this hiding the ingredients from you, can you really expect anything fruitful or beneficial to come from it for your body? Per the Appeal website, they claim Appeal is in its entirety composed of monoglycerides and diglycerides. Appeal markets these as naturally occurring in seeds, peels, and plant pulp, so they are, quote, all natural, end quote. That is false, and these ingredients are troublesome. These are manufactured from vegetable oils, which are known to be inflammatory and cause a slew of health effects and problems. In the extraction process, Appeal uses solvents like ethyl acetate and heptane. We are told that these are removed from the final product, but do you see how messy this is? We're at a point where we are consuming food that is lab-made in a majority of our diet. Think our breads that have long list ingredients, fast food, junk food like chips, sodas, and more. Now our produce is being sprayed with something we are told is all natural, but it isn't. This is all natural, raw milk and dirt. These are the two things I use for natural pesticides and herbicides. These are natural. I take my raw milk, I dilute it, I spray it on my plants in my garden. Also dirt gives a natural coating. My trees that are closer to the road and get dirt from the road, they have less problems with pests than the trees that are not covered in dirt. So there are different natural things that you can do. When it comes to extending shelf life, there are different food preservation methods that you can do. So circumnavigating that with a toxic spray, I feel, is not going to benefit us in any way because we are shortcutting a natural process, skipping steps, and at the cost of our health and with spraying with poison. I can't get that across enough. This is literally poison. So let's dive further into the ingredients. The monoglycerides and diglycerides that Appeal is composed of are seed oil byproducts and contain trans fats. Trans fats affect the nervous system, they affect fertility in women, and can affect fetal development. These are just some of the issues with trans fats. Why are we putting fertility diminishing sprays on our produce? Is it because we are under attack in all aspects of our life, especially our fertility? I just, side note, got done researching ingredients in some of the most popular moisturizers, and there's ingredients that have studies that show they affect our fertility. It's not just the sunscreen, it's not just our moisturizers, now it's our food. And we wonder why people in our circle are having trouble getting pregnant, having fertility issues. Men are having fertility issues. It's our food. It's the products we're using. It's the products we're putting on our skin. It's the products that we are inhaling. You know, those house fragrant things that you plug in. And it's just heartbreaking because I personally know women who are struggling to get pregnant. They are struggling and nobody tells them. Nobody tells them, hey, you know, it could be your diet. Hey, you know, that sunscreen, this ingredient right here, that is linked to fertility issues. This is actually hijacking your estrogen. It acts as estrogen in your body, and that can cause a slew of problems. When I try to bring these things up, okay, I am looked at as the crazy person. I'm insensitive, but it's because I care. And it's such a difficult, difficult thing to talk about because of the system we are in. We have been trained that only professionals, people with degrees who went to the Rockefeller schools, know what is right. But those Rockefeller school degreed people are the ones suggesting and prescribing these toxic things. Oh my gosh, I'm not going to name the specific moisturizer. I'm on a bit of a tangent right now. Please, please keep with me and forgive me for this, but I'm so passionate. This popular moisturizer, I was just looking, and they are partnered with some dermatologists. They have a thing where they recommend certain dermatologists, and they send PR packages to the dermatologists. And then you wonder, hey, why is my dermatologist recommending this product for my skin? Because they are taking backdoor deals from these companies who don't care about you. And this is the same thing with our food. I'm so passionate about it because I watch people suffer from it. You see online people sharing their stories. I have people in my circle who are struggling with their fertility. Fertility is such a sacred thing. I'm disgusted, disgusted to my core that we are just used in such a manner. We're not looked out for, but we are made to think that these people who have these degrees, they care for us. They don't. You got to learn how to research. You got to learn to read the material. And I understand a lot of people don't know how to do that. And that's why I'm trying to break these things down for you, whoever's listening, whoever's watching my social media when I share these things, and it's jarring, right? You've been groomed, literally groomed for so long to think, oh, nope, I can't have an opinion. The people at the doctor's office, they're the only ones that can have opinion over my health. They're the only ones who know what is right. Well, they got their degree from the same people who are selling you toxic products. Think about that. It's really as simple as that. Our cognitive abilities and fertility are being besieged. We need to understand this and start putting our feet down and saying, no, we're not doing this anymore. My kids are not going to be subjected to this. These mono and diglycerides in a pill also convert back to triglycerides in our bloodstream. High triglycerides have been linked to increased risk of cardiovascular disease. This is horrible. We're literally being poisoned. I can't say this enough. When I share on my social media how we are being poisoned, I mean it. And I'm trying to let y'all in on it so you can learn how to make better choices and be aware of the war on our food. Also, isn't there a conspiracy of Bill Gates being associated with promoting depopulation? Yes, there is. He gave a TED talk about reducing greenhouse gases, and one of the options was reducing the world population. So that is where that comes from. And I guess if we were piecing this together, then it would make sense that this tech weirdo would want to put fertility affecting products on our produce, organic produce too, to then affect our fertility so then we can't have kids and then we reduce the world population and then we have less greenhouses, which are a scam anyways. So anyways, here's what you can do now that you see how our food is being under attack. Let's discuss. We broke it down. We broke down some of the health effects, how creepy it is. Let's talk about what you can do. First off, start reading labels. Learning how to read labels is a valuable skill. Of course, we aren't taught it in school because if we were, big food would have a difficult time staying alive because people would be able to piece together research with different toxic ingredients. Here is what you do. Find something in your kitchen you want to learn more about or look up a food online that you want to learn more about. My recent fixation was kids' drinks and looking at the ingredients labels on those and the marketing tactics. It's disgusting, by the way. Just find the ingredient label and read. What are those words? If you don't know what the ingredient is, look it up. This is where you get into dangerous waters, but I will show you how to navigate it. Depending on the ingredient, there may be a slew of propaganda saying this ingredient is safe. Eat it. Feed it to your kids. For example, the latest with the propaganda machine is that vegetable and seed oils are safe and healthy. Well, when you dive into research, you find otherwise. You can use Google Scholar, PubMed, JSTOR.org, ScienceDirect.com, and other science journals to find valuable research. Again, Everyone has an agenda, and some papers you will discover are well hidden on some engines and not so much on others. But say you go to any of these, type in an ingredient on the label, and see what pops up. I will always check the acknowledgement sections of the different papers to see if the scientists have disclosed funding. Interestingly, you can discover scientists who are paid by companies to do research on their product. If someone is being paid to do research on said product, I would assume most of the time that research will be a bit skewed. I mean, someone's bills are at hand, their family, their food. So just be careful as you drudge through research. The more you do it, the more you'll get the hang of it. I am able to do this easily because, surprise, I have a useless college degree and I went to pharmacy school for a bit where I had to spend hours sifting through research articles. I guess if I never use my degree professionally, which I don't think I ever will, I can use it to help people make better food choices and learn how to do research. And when I talk about funding in the acknowledgement section, here is an interesting example of what I'm trying to get across as my point. I recently was fact-checked on a reel on Instagram that I did for sunscreen saying, hey, this is the research. It's saying, you know, these ingredients are causing cancer and they are causing placenta issues and a slew of other problems. I got hit with a fact check, and the fact check said, sunscreen doesn't cause cancer. This is wrong. So I clicked on the fact check, went through the science, quote unquote, that they referenced. Well, the science that they referenced, the scientists who were doing that science were funded by Johnson & Johnson. They were in cahoots with Johnson & Johnson. They were like representatives. So am I going to trust research from scientists who are in cahoots with the companies pushing the toxic products than saying it's safe? No, but you get to make up your own decisions. That's, you know, you, when you dive into this, you get to decide for yourself. What is disturbing is that we've only been trained to read the marketing gimmicks on the labels, like, quote, 100% vitamin C, end quote, on the front of kids' drinks. So people who don't know better think they are giving their kids something great and helping them get their vitamin C, which they're taught is a good vitamin to have for the immune system. But if they had learned to turn the bottle around and dissect the ingredients, they would find a different story, like canola oil, yellow 5, yellow 6, and other atrocious ingredients that no one, especially kids, have any business drinking. So again, once you get the hang of reading labels and making it a habit with every food you bring into your house, you can take your health back into your own hands and have more power of what is coming into your home. Another way to change up your food and make a difference is to start sourcing local. Sourcing local is such a powerful way to take down big food. Instead of putting money into the pocket of corporations that obviously do not care for your health or the quality of your food, put your money local into farmers who do care about your food. Weston A. Price Foundation offers local chapters who have chapter leaders that may be able to help you get pointed in the direction of how and where you can source local in your area. You can use realmilk.com that has a raw milk finder that can help you locate raw milk in your area. You could call your county extension office to see if your community does community co-ops where farmers sell food locally, go to farmers markets or community markets and talk around. My life changed when I started sourcing my food locally. I had lived by a little farm store and I didn't even know it for years. I discovered it by becoming interested in supporting local farms and homesteading. I went and got some eggs. They were more expensive than at the store, but I was hooked. The eggs were delicious. Their freezers and fridges were stocked during the time of the grocery stores were empty. Another way to get fresh food is to see if there are any community-supported agricultural groups around you. If so, you may be able to get farm shares and have a centralized place to connect with people selling local goods. For example, during the summer, I get a weekly farm share that consists of a variety of veggies that local farmers grow. Not only that, this has connected me with my local farmers who sell produce and other items outside of this farm share. So every week now, when I go to my farm share, go get it, the farmer has soaps, hot sauces, meats, and more of available is so cool. Like, that's my kind of grocery store. And through the season, that changes, and the produce is beautiful and tastes so good. You could also even learn how to grow a garden. Growing a garden is a valuable skill set our great grandparents had, and it has disappeared for most of us through the generations because convenience has set in. Now we are left with useless green lawns that guzzle down water and do nothing besides get a stamp of approval from your HOA. What if instead you planted a few fruit trees in your yard or berry bushes of sorts? You now have some food that you don't have to worry about having a peel on it. The fruit trees can take a while to come in, but it is an investment into your future, especially with how the world is going and what is happening to our food. Maybe for your herbs, you could have a container on your kitchen counter. A great way to cultivate a garden in your backyard is to build some raised garden boxes. I have a raised planter DIY blueprint plan, that was a lot to say, that you can follow. These are some of the same planters that I started building when I decided I wanted a garden. I will put them in the show notes for you. Raised planters are nice because you can put wiring and different fabrics on the bottom before you fill with soil to keep out weeds and various animals. Right now in my garden, I am struggling with voles. Everything that I put directly into the ground got destroyed. Even stuff that I put into my raised boxes got destroyed. So you have to assess what kind of situation you have, whether that's the ground, what kind of soil you need, what kind of animals you have. So I moved in here, did not prep for the voles, but now I know, and it has taken a hampering on my garden, but that is why I rely so heavily too on sourcing local. You can also fill the bottoms with stumps, sticks, leaves, and other compostable materials, so the bottom of your raised garden planter, because those can be daunting to fill. You can even order a dump of soil if you don't have soil available to you. What is neat is that after I started doing this, I encouraged my parents to do the same with their yard, and now my dad has 8 raised garden boxes and has a larger garden than I do, all because he saw how important it was to grow our own food and how doable it is from anywhere. My parents live in a city subdivision, by the way, so if they can do it, you can. They even have an HOA, but it is time to start taking control of your food, or as you see, other entities will do it for you and you stop losing your ability to choose. But right now is the time to do it. The more people open their eyes to the system, the more we can change our future, especially for our children, grandkids, and everybody. So trust me, the quality of the food is noticeable and you won't regret taking steps to source or grow quality produce. I appreciate you listening and I hope you enjoyed the podcast and spending this time with me, and I hope I will see you next time. And if you want to find me on any social media, I am Gubba Homestead on every social media. I have a website of blogs and DIY posts and recipes at gubbahomestead.com. So I hope you find these resources helpful, and I will see you next time. Bye.